So over recent weeks, we have been looking at how to live victoriously as Christians and setting solid foundations deep down on the inside of us in a way that we weren't able to before we knew Jesus. So this is based on the fact that we have a relationship with God. So we've looked in depth at how outside of God, if we don't have a relationship with God, we draw everything that we need from the world around us. So everything, our relationships, our needs, everything comes from the horizontal level of the things that go on around us. Physical needs and our soul needs. We work from the outside, so out there feeds me and helps me to develop and grow. And now part of the transformation that's taken place when we met Jesus, when we invited God into our lives, when we became Christians, whatever way you want to describe it, is there's a huge transformation because we've now entered into relationship with God and everything needs to change. So rather than living and drawing from the world around me, I now need to live and draw on my relationship with God. He wants an intimate relationship with every single one of us. Outside of Jesus, we can't have that because we were separated from God through sin. And we've looked in length about what that meant. But Jesus provided a way for us to be reconciled and have a relationship with God. And we need to learn to live out of that relationship, which means that God now lives on the inside of us, in our spirits, and wants to flow out. And we need to relearn everything that we do so that we are flowing out of our relationship with God, that he is our source, that he meets our needs, and then we flow out of the abundance of our relationship in him, which is the complete opposite of how we lived beforehand. Naturally, everything we do through we understand it, we work it out, we control it, we need to know because we need to know because we need to know. And then we enter into a relationship with God where God wants us to live by faith. And that means we don't always need to know, but we need to learn what God says about us, about life, about how we should live. And we need to learn to live his ways, which is called living by faith, because we don't always see what that looks like. So we have to develop a relationship with God where we trust him, even when we can't see or know what's going on. So really we need to learn to change from our soul, which is who we are on the inside, being dominant and leading us, to learn to live by our spirit, which is God living on the inside of us, telling us how to live. Now that's not an easy process of change, because it's everything needs to be different. Now, I'm not going to go into this picture, so don't panic, but this is a picture that God gave to Ian Clayton, who's someone that we've had dealings with and a relationship with quite a long time ago. And really, those are the different aspects of us. So on the outside of us, we have our body, our physical body, which is world conscious. It's how we relate to the world around us. The next layer in is our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. That's the you on the inside. And that's self-conscious. That tells you what you need, who you are. That's where we relate to ourselves. And on the inside is our spirit. Until we become Christians, our spirit is on the inside of us, but it's not connected to God. It's separated from God because of sin. So when we accept Jesus into our lives, that our spirit becomes reconnected to God and we function at a spiritual level. So those are the three layers that we're going to look at. So before knowing God, our spirit was not connected, and so we purely lived by my needs, the needs that I have, that God created me to have, us all to have. We were all created by need, with needs for acceptance. Everybody needs to be accepted. Everybody needs to be affirmed. Everybody needs to be loved. Everybody needs to feel that they belong. Everybody needs to have a purpose in their life, and everybody needs security. Those are things that God created us to have and to need. The idea was that he would meet those needs on the inside of us. But when that went badly wrong, what happened is we need those needs filled, so we look outside to get those needs filled. And for most of us, we look to people or positions or things to make us feel better about ourselves. But we know that actually that doesn't really work, and we get a little bit messed up. At salvation, when we become a Christian, we have a new birth. That's what we're talking about. God comes to live on the inside of us, and our spirit becomes alive and connects us to God. We have a new identity. So you're now called Christians. You're now called saints, holy people. You're connected to God. You're a brother of Jesus. You're God's child. These are things that happen to us. You get a new title. You become a part of a new family, the family of God. We get a new life, free from sin. Before we knew Jesus, we couldn't help but sin, because that's our nature, that's who we were. Now, in relationship with God, Jesus has defeated that, and we can learn new ways to live where we don't have to do that anymore, and we can live lives that God intends for us. We get a new start. This is the amazing one. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've done in your life, no matter what's happened, when you meet Jesus, God wipes your slate clean, because Jesus enables us to be forgiven and have a fresh start. And we get a new kingdom to live in. We no longer live in this sinful world, but we do physically, but we become part of a new kingdom, the kingdom of God, which where we operate at the spiritual level, and then we bring that here to outwork it. And we get a chance to fulfill our destiny, to know God intimately and rule in our spheres of influence. Now, everything happens out of a relationship with God, which is what we keep going back to, because we have a purpose, a plan, and a destiny. None of that will happen if we don't come into a revelation of who God says that we are. So God will give us areas to rule in our lives, and the first person that I need to learn to rule is myself. That means those things which are not of God, those things which are ungodly, which aren't right, then God will enable me to be free so that I don't need to live like that anymore. And then that will outwork, and it will give me areas that I will have influence in, that I can see other people come into God's kingdom, and I can change things and bring justice and all those exciting things down here. So in the inside, this is our spirit. This is where God comes to live. Deep, deep, deep on the inside of us, where our spirit is. When Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit come and live on the inside of us, that gives us access to heaven. That is like a doorway, a gateway that opens us into all of the heavenly realm, into our spirit. And the idea is that that flows through our spirit. We then open our spirit, that God flows into our soul, transforming our soul, all our selfishness, all the coping mechanisms that we've learned, all the defense mechanisms, everything that we have learned to value and become our belief systems through just life situations, God wants to transform, heal, and restore, and then flow out from that through our physical body out into the outside world, which is where we will demonstrate who God is to those around us. So in our spirit, we're not going to look at these, but we have senses that have been dormant until we know Jesus. These are like reverence, faith. We've looked at faith, hope, worship, revelation, intuition, fear of the Lord, and prayer. They're all things that we grow as we become connected with God. Then we go into our soul, which is the area where we really look after ourselves, where we protect ourselves, where we learn that's where our value system, our belief system is formed, where we are self-conscious. Our conscience is in our soul. Now, for some of us, our conscience might be really sharp, and for some of us, it might not. But as we're on a journey with God, our conscience is something that will change as we become more and more like Jesus. The things that we once might not think wrong suddenly might appear wrong. Our imagination is an area that God wants to cleanse so that it can be pure. Reason, our mind, our will, and our emotions, they're all seated in our soul, and really they're how we function. Choice. They are things that God wants to transform in us. And the outside area, which is this, that's how we relate to the outside world, isn't it? Five senses: eyes, ears, mouth, feel, nose, smell. That's how we relate around us. God wants to transform all of that and bring it back into line with how he wants us to be. So I've come into a relationship with God through Jesus, who paid the price for my sin by dying on the cross for me and taking my place. There's nothing I could do to get a relationship with God. I can't earn it, I can't strive for it, I can't buy it. There's nothing. God so loved me and you that he sent Jesus. It was an act of complete and utter love, grace and mercy, so that we could be in a relationship with him. I'm forgiven because Jesus paid my debt. Now I need to learn to live a new life, a new way, which is what we've just talked about. Renewing my mind. That means every way that I think, every thought pattern, every belief system that I have developed, which is not lined up with God, I need to let God renew. My emotions, where they've been really wounded. God wants to heal and restore where I've been fragmented, where I've been deep wounds. Life circumstances and my choices have caused me to be the way that I am. And we've looked at this in great detail about how from early on, the family that we're born into, how we see other people relate, how our parents treat us, they shape us, they form our belief systems, which aren't necessarily God's best for us. And we can't change that, as Brett said. You can't change your past, but you can allow Jesus to come in to heal and restore you so that your future is what God intends it to be, not based on your past. So we've started this journey discovering who God is and who I am to him. God is love, and he loves us extravagantly, outrageously, unconditionally. So much so that he's let his own son take the penalty so that we could have a relationship and be reconciled to him. In return, God wants to be loved. He wants to be in a relationship with us where he has first place. He wants to be our all. He wants to be our source. He wants first place in our lives. And from that place, everything else will flow out of relationship with him. Now, we often talk about first love gate here in many, well, always, if we talk about doing activations or we talk about anything else, we talk about our first love gate. We say, okay, close your eyes, concentrate, open your first love gate. But what is it? Your first love gate in this context is the deepest place in you. It's your most intimate place. And in your spirit, you say we're... the spirit is open and there's a flow of God comes to live on the inside of us that flows into our spirit. God wants us to let him in so that he can flow through us. So we have the choice to open the door to let him in to those deepest, most intimate places so that God can be our first love. And from there, flow into every other area. So first love gate is on the inside of us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. And again, we often have a picture here that I couldn't find of Jesus knocking on the door. The handle is on our side. We have the responsibility and the choice to let God into those deepest, deepest places. He won't force himself. But he wants to come in because he wants first place. He wants to heal us in those deepest areas. Revelation is a different version. Now pay attention. I am standing at the door and knocking. If any of you hear my voice and open the door, then I will come in to visit with you and to share a meal at your table, and you will be with me. That's just language for saying, let me in. Let me eat with you. Let me be with you. Let me live with you. Let me into those deepest places that you have, that place that's deepest on the inside of you. For some of you, no problem. You can open your first leg gate, open it wide, let Jesus in, tickety-boo. For some, it might be a huge issue because our natural experience of first love may have left us really damaged and broken, because how we are in the natural will affect how we are with God. And that's really what I want to look at today. Because for most of us, we've had an experience of first love. The person you first gave your heart to. Your first girlfriend. Your first boyfriend. Often we can remember what we were wearing when we met that very first one. Usually it's quite young. It has a huge impact on us. We may even remember the warm, fuzzy feelings that we had. In love, besotted. You gave your heart away. Your heart missed a beat when you saw someone. You felt sick with excitement. We could go on. It can be when we leave ourselves most open and vulnerable emotionally because we think this is it. This is my forever love. It'll never go wrong. Then, it does. Disaster strikes and it all goes wrong. Rejection, betrayal, deep, deep pain. You think you'll never get over it. And sometimes, for some of us, we never do. Eventually, we may meet someone else, but we don't have that place in our heart anymore because we've given it away and someone else still has it. You may not meet anyone. I've met people who've never got over their first love and I've never met anyone else. No one can match up. When we're wounded, we often make vows on the inside of us. Things like, I'll never get hurt again. No one will ever get that close to me again. No one will make a fool of me like that again. I won't put myself through that again. But what we need to understand is even on the inside when we say things like that, we are cursing ourselves and we are making inner vows which have power. Words are containers of life or death. They carry a frequency which will draw life or will draw death. And so we need to be careful about what we say. Often in first love situations or any love situations, we develop soul ties, which are emotional ties, bonds that bind us into people. We can't let them go. They have control over us. They can manipulate our emotions. I was talking to a young man recently who'd been in a relationship with, it was a destructive relationship on and off for the last 2 or 3 years, and they weren't together, but he said, she's in my head, I think, and she's telling me what to do. I just can't break free. I don't know what to do. Those are called soul ties. They're there, they keep us bound to people so that we can't move on. They're an ungodly connection which causes us to be overly dependent or stuck. I've prayed for many people over the years with first love issues who've been able to move on. One lady I prayed for, she'd been stuck in the past for 20 years. She'd not been able to get over what she felt that she'd lost. For others, after this, no one gets close. So the heart now has walls built up right around it to protect it. Defense mechanisms, barriers, a fortress, however you want to describe it. So they drift from relationship to relationship with no real attachment or intimacy because they're not going to get hurt again. So everything is at a superficial level because I'm not going there again. We've looked at our soul needs, all those things that we said that we need. When we look to a person to meet them, what happens when that person's not there anymore? We can become needy, emotionally draining, codependent, manipulative, controlling, or completely and utterly shut down. For some, we may have found that first love and it may be wonderful. We may still be with our first love and everything might be really wonderful, great, but God still wants that place. He wants to be first because when he is first, we give away out of the overflow of who we are in God. It doesn't take from us. We give away out of God's resources. So it's the deepest, intimate part. Mark 12:30 says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. How much of us does God want? All. How much is left? Nothing. He wants oh, he wants to be the most important thing to us. Because from that place, if I am full and overflowing with God, I'm going to be wonderful, aren't I? I'm going to be the most lovely person ever. Because I'm not going to be coming out of my soul needs. I'm not going to be coming out of anything to do with me. Ooh, you should have sent me back. I'm going to be flowing out of the love of God. And that's his heart for us. Nothing broken, nothing missing, just flowing in him. So we can find our value, our purpose, our identity, our acceptance, our approval, our significance. If we find it in God and what he says about us, we're going to be pretty secure people to fulfill our destiny in him. Why is this such a big deal? Why am I talking about this, all this girly stuff? I've done a bit of research on the internet, and there are pages of things like this. Oh, that's what God wanted. That's God's heart for us. Our heart in his hands. Anyway, come back to that. These were pages. This is a very small selection of the pages that I found. Why we never really get over that first love. And that went on to oodles of pages. Beware, men never get over a first love. 10 years later, I feel like I will never get over my first love. I can't get my first love out of my head. Getting over first love. How to get over first love. 13 steps with pictures. This is huge. Can you ever get over your first love? This is huge. So I'm not just randomly saying this. This is a huge area for people in general. We have an amazing privilege because God wants to heal us and to set us free, that we don't have to be stuck in these things. So God's heart for us is wholeness. Nothing broken, nothing missing. To live out of the overflow of his abundance. To see ourselves as he sees us, so our identity is in him. He wants us to give him our hearts. Wounds and emotional damage at this level will prevent us giving God first place and will prevent us giving him our heart. We see God through our earthly filters. So if you are carrying betrayal, wounds, damage, anger, rejection through people, through your first love, through whatever situation, that might be what your gate might look like. Bolted, rusty, not going there. It's been shut for a long time and I'm not opening it up. What God wants. Oh, no. I've got ahead of my pictures. I'll stay there. I've gone ahead. So we put our filters onto God. If we've built walls around our hearts and thrown away the key, it will affect our relationship with God. We expect God to let us down. We'll expect God to disappoint us, to reject us. We will mistrust God. We will be suspicious. Fear and rejection will really be the major thing in our lives. We are also called to be the family of God, which means we need to love and relate to each other at an intimate level. Again, if we've got these things in place on the inside, we won't be able to because we won't trust anyone. So this involves the most intimate part of us. And we will struggle if we don't go there. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is go there. Let God in to these deep places and unlock this door. God wants us to surrender to him, to be abandoned to him. And that's a scary prospect if you've got all this stuff going on the inside. This is at the deepest level. It involves our self-worth. Maybe we don't deserve loving. Maybe we don't deserve to have a relationship with God like that. Transformation is God's heart. He wants to restore us in relationship to him. Heal our wounds where we've been robbed. Because if your heart's been broken, if you've been wounded and damaged in that way, you've been robbed. You might say, well, it's just part of life. It's just what it is. Everybody goes through it. Unfortunately, we do. We've probably all been through it to some degree. But we're robbed if we stay there. because we don't have to stay there. Another area we could go back to in this is a father wound. Huge, huge area for most people, because God is our father. If we have wounds from our natural earthly father, we tend to put those onto God as well. We can end up looking for love in relationships because we didn't get it from our father. It can be a massive blockage in our first love gateway as well, because often our father is the first love that we have. And if that goes wrong, everything else can go wrong. Now, I love my dad dearly. I might cry, but I love my dad dearly. But as I was growing up, he was a very, very busy man. He was involved in lots of things. He was very, he was involved in lots of missions in the town that we came from. He did fishing, he was involved in the lifeboat. He was just a busy man. And when I was 14, which for most of you, if you've had girls, will know, 14 is quite a significant age. My dad, he had back issues and problems, and he was in bed for a few years, and so he wasn't around. Was it his fault? No, of course it wasn't his fault. Am I blaming him? No. What I'm doing is saying, because of these various things, that had an effect on me. And I ended up getting into a relationship at a really young age to meet my needs. I was engaged at a really young age. I had a broken engagement at a really young age. So my heart was broken at a really young age. I got married at a really young age with a broken heart. Not ideal. I've talked to you before about some of the things that, you know, my testimony. It was a downward spiral that didn't go too well because I was broken in those deep, intimate places. But I'm here because no matter how painful it has been, I have let God into those deep places of pain, and he has healed me and restored me, and I am not that broken person anymore. And that's what God wants to do for you. I don't think I'm all that unusual. I might be a bit special, but I don't think I'm all that unusual. Maybe your life circumstances might look different to mine, but the bottom line is we all face the same issues. We all have to deal with the same things in some way, and we struggle on. It's just life. It's just me. This is how it is. But I'm here to tell you today, it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to live half a life anymore. You don't have to struggle anymore. Jesus paid the price that we might have full access into heaven, into everything the Father has for us. Nothing broken, nothing missing, complete restoration. If we are to come into all God has for us, we need to let him into these deep places, or we won't, because they'll rob us of our intimacy with God, because either we won't deserve it or we won't trust him with our hearts. So I'm going to ask you today to be prepared to go there. Because if not, we live as disappointed, betrayed people out of rejection and fear. Also, sometimes in our past, we have areas that get stuck. And that means when a trauma happens, or when you get wounded or damaged or brokenhearted, or however you want to call it, part of us in our emotions can get stuck at that place. And we go and we carry on with life, but actually part of us is stayed back at that place of wounding. Again, the most amazing thing, it's actually part of lie busting, is we take Jesus into that stuck part, that place where you got stuck, that I've not been able to move from, and let Jesus bring healing and bring you back into a whole person. It's amazing, and that's a tool that we've got, so that's good news, isn't it? When you think of your first love, what does it provoke in you? Pain, anger, sadness, loss, what might have been? Or is it, it might be. It might be wonderful. God is asking us to open our first love gate to him. What does yours look like? Finally got there. This? Or this? I prayed with someone once, and she couldn't open her first love gate. She couldn't even see it. It was behind thistles and briars, and when she saw it in the distance, it was a door that had a bolt, a padlock, everything you could possibly. There was no way that she was going to go there. So we prayed and we went work through forgive and release, and she'd been raped. So she had bolted that part of her away, 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 never going there. But we prayed and we worked through forgive and release, and God healed her emotions and restored her, and she opened her gate and it looked like that. So no matter where you have been and what has happened, I thought that was quite pretty. Your first love gateway may look very differently. I thought it was quite clever to find me, actually. It's the sense of opening up to allow God into the very essence of who you are. Maybe you've caused terrible pain to other people. So your gate may look like that, because you don't deserve love and you certainly don't deserve God's love. So your gate has been locked because you are unworthy. Let me tell you something. That's a lie. Because God loves you. God has no favourites. And when Jesus paid the penalty for our sin, he took sin. That's the sin I've done to others and the sin that has been done to me. There is not one person that is excluded from this. And we have familiar spirits that operate within us. And they're the itsy bitsy committee, whatever you call them. Is it itsy bitsy committee? It's a bit. They're the voices, the things that go like this in your mind, not you. Everybody else can be healed from this. Everybody else's doors can be unlocked, but not yours. You don't deserve it. Not after what you did. Not after the way you treated. We have to make a choice to say either we can believe God, that what God did is sufficient for me and for you, or God's a liar. That's the choice that we have to face. God loves us outrageously, extravagantly, could not love us anymore. And that includes every single one of us. Please do not discount yourself from entering into this. Previously, we've tried to change ourselves from the outside. We've tried to do all sorts of things to make ourselves better from the outside in. Do you remember I said we need to learn a new way now, which is allowing God to do it from the inside out. And that comes from opening that doorway, allowing the life of God, the river of life, to flow through us. On the final and climactic day of the feast, Jesus took his stand. He cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me." In this way, on the inside of us, in our spirit, we have the river of life. We have every resource of heaven. And what God wants us to do is open the door so that it can flow out. And if we have the river of life, if we have the glory of God, if we have the fire of God flowing from us, it will change us and transform us and turn us into the people that God intended us to be. Because we were created in eternity in the heart of God. At conception, when a sperm and an egg come together, our physical being forms and we are born in this realm. But our spirit, God created our spirit in eternity with a plan and a purpose. We are all unique. We are all precious. God loves each one of us intimately, but uniquely. I'm not supposed to be like you. You're not supposed to be like me. But together, we fit and we fulfill God's plans and purposes on the earth. And so by opening this doorway, this gateway, we allow that river of life to flow through us and bring healing. So if we see our gateway like this, it's usually a protection. It's not our spirit that is blocked. Our spirit is perfect in God. God lives in our spirit, but we project things from our soul onto our spirit gateway, onto that doorway. It's from our soul. It's not our spirit that's incomplete here. It's like God's on the inside banging, saying, "Let me out, let me out, and let me in, let me in." And our soul, those wounds, are saying, "No, I can't go there. No, 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 no. That's all right. I've managed all right on my own." It's our choice. We can choose to let God in or not. We've built up walls. We can break them down. We've learned one way, we can learn to work God's way. Whatever has caused you to build these walls, to lock or block your heart, we must decide to deal with and own what's happened and be prepared to go there with God. It's time to let go. There's a song we like, shake off the dust. You know, there are things that hold us back. We've been shaped for too long by our past. It's time to move forward. It's time to let go and develop that deep intimacy with God. We don't want hard hearts, do we? Cynical, hard hearts, skeptical. We want soft hearts, radiating, beating. Yeah, with the heart of God, with compassion, with love, with grace, with mercy. That's the people that we want to be. If we let God in, he will transform our hearts, set them on fire with a passion for him. Will be ablaze for him. I don't even know what that picture means, but I like it. It's like, yeah, I want my heart to look like that. That's really cool. Forgiveness is the key. We've talked about it in depth before, but if you have been hurt or wounded, you are owed a debt. But you can forgive. You need to take responsibility for how you've reacted. If you've been angry, resentful, bitter, if you've held on to those things, now's the time to let that go. But you can forgive, you can let that go. Because it's hard work being angry, actually, isn't it? It's like poison. So say unforgiveness is like drinking poison and then hoping someone else dies. So is it? That's good, isn't it? Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping someone else dies. It's time to let go of all of that because it locks us up and blocks our relationship with God. It's really acknowledging, because of this situation, because this happened to me, I ended up like this. I don't want to be like that anymore. What have you partnered with? Rejection, unworthiness, believing those lies, those familiar spirits at the Itsy Bitsy Committee. What words have you spoken over yourself? What inner vows have you made? What curses have you done to yourself? Where do you have soul ties that need breaking so that you are no longer tied to people and the past? Do you have a stuck past, a stuck bit? Is there a part of you that was so wounded and damaged by someone that it's stuck? Because Jesus wants to reintegrate that so that you become complete and whole. Now, there's a variety of things there that I've said. I'm not going to do an activation today. What we're going to do is we're going to play a song in a minute. And I would encourage you, this is a song that God is saying he wants your heart. It's a really powerful song. I'm going to encourage you to try and engage with the song as we sit here. And then afterwards, there's a variety of things that we can do. We've got pen and paper over there. If you feel that you need to let some things go or that you need to do some forgiveness, we've got pen and paper over there. If you feel, I don't know what you're on about, but this Jesus sounds like a good thing, I want to know him too, then we're going to have opportunity for people to know Jesus. And if you want ministry or prayer, we're going to pray. Okay, so there's a variety of things that we're going to do. But what I would like you to do now is just be open for God to show you. Maybe in this song you can let some things go. Maybe in this song you can open your first love gate. Okay, so just we'll do that now.